My main review of Shanghai Disney was that there was a shocking lack of Mulan merchandise. I would have expected a lot more merchandise for the Mulan movie. But I will say that the great moments with Chairman Mao was fantastic.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 521, reviewing Shanghai Disney. We're in the final week of our three-week, four-city Chinese tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised. And as we foretold last week in Beijing, we spent a day at Shanghai Disney, the newly opened Disneyland in Shanghai, China. It was a great treat to be here so soon after the park's official opening. We had a blast, and this week we share our thoughts about what we loved and what we didn't quite like so much about Disney's newest theme park.
I was hugely disappointed. I was looking for a Mickey Mao shirt the whole time I was there. Nothing with Chairman Mao and the round ears. Nothing.
And there were no t-shirts at all, in fact.
Well, Dan.
Yeah.
No t-shirts at all.
Yeah.
All I was looking for was, I don't care if it had Mickey on it or it had the castle, something that said Shanghai Disney or something with Chinese characters on it, along with a Disney character was exactly what I was looking for. No t-shirts.
No. In fairness to Shanghai Disney, did it just open in the last 6 months? Is that what it was?
That's for June. I believe it was June.
Okay.
And also, I guess to their credit, it is winter. And maybe that was it.
Maybe you don't want to wear t-shirts in the winter.
Winter in Beijing is considerably colder than winter in Florida or Southern California.
Yeah, that's really true. Now, we talked about going to the Shanghai Disney last week. We were very excited about it. But it's hard for me to gauge who was most excited about it, Dan or Reed. I know, Reed, you expressed your excitement.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go, and then I just thought about it. I'm going to go, and so I sort of put the word out, and before I knew it, all of us were going, including Yi, who works with us from Tin House Productions. So six of us all went, and it seemed like we all had a blast. I think Jill was the least excited. She's not a Disney person. That's our stage manager, Jill Yetsky.
Right, and I was a Disney person even before we had kids. People would come over and say, well, you got kids or something? Because they'd see all the videos of the movies we had. But I was a Disney person. But you're a big – you go to Disneyland all the time, Dan.
No, I wouldn't say all the time. I've been more than a handful of times.
When was the last time you were there?
Well, it was about 2.5 weeks.
But it had been years, right?
It had been about 7 years, that in between. So, I remember Jill said to me at some point, maybe halfway through the day, and she just said, oh, Dan, I'm just so happy seeing you so enthusiastic.
That's a pretty good accent. A pretty good imitation of her accent, too. It was great to see. I mean, it's just opened. And fortunately, it was an overcast, kind of coolish Tuesday, I think, we went in Shanghai. So it wasn't very crowded at all. It was very pleasant.
It was the least crowded time I've ever been to Disney. I think, a weekday on a cold day in November. We walked in and we walked right on to the Tron light cycle ride.
Right.
And then three of us got back in line and did it right again immediately, which I think is one of the two most popular rides.
Yeah, and this was Dan's. Dan had plotted it all out. He had charted our course early on. He said, "We're going here. We're going first." And I says, it's one of those days where I'm just standing there going, "Yes, I'm doing what I'm told. I'm going where I'm told."
You have to be efficient at Disneyland to have fun.
You cannot mess around. No. Now, Tron.
That sounds like German Disneyland.
Yeah. Well,
Disney Munich.
Yeah.
But is Tron a ride that they have anywhere in the States?
No, I don't think they have it at Disney World, although I've never been there, but I don't think so.
As far as I know, this is the only place that has it.
Your son, Kian, is the resident expert.
Yes, and when I asked Kian, we're going to Shanghai Disney, one, he was super jealous, but two, he said, Pirates of the Caribbean and the Tron light cycle. He also said that the castle is amazing, and I have to agree, it's the most impressive Disney castle right at the center of things that
Absolutely.
I've ever seen.
Yeah. So their Tron ride is basically Shanghai Disney's version of Space Mountain. There was no Space Mountain there.
Right.
And I think Probably just because people could relate to Tron more than just a generic, you know, this is called Space Mountain.
Or the Disney designers went, oh, God, don't make us do another Space Mountain. Let's do something more fun with Tron. And so it's great. So you hop up, you ride on these light cycles. You know, it's a roller coaster, but there's a pair of light. So you're sort of leaning forward on these cycles. So it's not the most comfortable, but it's pretty comfortable.
To me, it's the most comfortable roller coaster I've ever been on, because I don't like roller coasters. And my lower back gets sore once in a while. And in that position where you're sort of your chest and your stomach is, you know, leaning on the motorcycle, and you're leaning forward, there was no strain on my back at all. There's a little, actually the strain was kind of on your neck trying to keep your head up,
because you want to keep your head up to look around.
It was the only roller coaster, I guess you would say cart, so to speak, that I've ever been on that was like that, where you're sitting on the light cycle, just like you would if it was a real light cycle. So your face, you're leaning into the ride, and that made it
really good. No, it was really good. And my only complaint about it, although it's a big complaint, is it was too short. It was too short of a ride. It was sort of just the right length for you.
Yeah, because I get headaches or whatever. I'm not great at motion. So for me, I will agree with you. It finished, and I go, is that all?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. If we had, fortunately, we got sort of right on, because we were the first among the first people in the park. But if I had waited for 20 minutes, like, which is the minimum time people were waiting for, I think I would have been disappointed. Even though, for me, I was the same with you. You and I did not go on again. Dan and the kids did.
Yes. The young people.
The young people.
Well, and also, you know, speaking of a 20-minute wait, I believe that is the longest that we waited for any ride.
Yeah.
Every ride, I mean, we were saying it was so not crowded.
Yeah.
I've never seen a Disneyland like that before, especially being only 6 months old.
Yes, and we've heard that it has been very, very busy, that it's busy on weekends, and it was busy in the summer. So we really lucked out the day we were available. Really?
Well, and you mentioned Tron and Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean was probably one of my top two favorite rides on the day, because it is, again, I think the designer's going, oh, thank goodness we can redesign Pirates of the Caribbean around Jack Sparrow.
Mm-hmm. Instead of tagging him on.
Right, instead of tagging him on as they've done in Disneyland. But they've also they've got IMAX screens are a part of the ride. So suddenly it's not just, you know, and they suckered us too, because you ride through and there's the dog with the key, with the keys to the jail cell, and the prisoners going, here, doggy, 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 here, doggy, doggy, trying to get the keys.
Except they're skeletons.
Except they're skeletons, and they're not moving. The animatronics are not moving. And so I was sitting there going, oh, lame. And then you burst through and suddenly you're in this huge IMAX situation where you're seeing these giant... No, it was a Kraken. They released the Kraken.
They released the Kraken.
They released the Kraken. I think you released a Kraken or two in the boat while we were
riding. Probably did,
But, oh my God, it was so impressive. A great combination, blend, I guess, of animatronics, and this IMAX animation was
fantastic. Yeah, and it makes you feel like they just move the boat just a little bit, and it feels like you're going underwater, and now you're seeing all the sunken boats and the treasure, and the Kraken is swimming past you, and then a little while later, then, you know, you're in front of another big screen and moves again, and you're floating up to the surface.
And
it's just amazing.
And the boats that you're riding on turn 360s.
Yeah.
So the boats revolve. They don't just go in one direction like they do in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I've never been to Disney World, so I can't compare it. They didn't have a Hall of Presidents,
yeah,
or Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah, great moments with Chairman Mao, right?
Yeah. That's the first thing I do every time I go. That's the first thing I like to do, is Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. So in that sense, I was disappointed. But no.
Do you really? No.
No, I used to. Oh, yeah, really? It used to be the first thing.
I thought your joke was your family will never let you.
Well, that's true. My children will never let me. See, you know, but screw them. They're old enough now. When I go back, I'm going into Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. God damn it.
Hi, I'm Roy Conley from Disney Animation Studios, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, you can see Michael Faulkner, Mick Orff, and Dustin Sullivan perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Colorado and Maryland, while Dan Sasky, Reed Martin, and I perform the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged revised in Xiamen and Nanjing. Then in the first half of 2017, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged in both the U.S. and the U.K. And we hope to have those dates up on our website very soon next week after we return from China. In fact, if you're catching up on the podcasts, the dates might be up already. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
So, Dan, what was your favorite or your least favorite part of the experience?
Well, I would say Tron and Pirates of the Caribbean were absolutely top two,
okay,
along with Soaring the Horizon, which is basically like soaring over California. I believe they call it a California Disney. It was just like that. A least favorite. I think my least favorite might have been that there wasn't a whole lot of shops and I couldn't find a goddamn T-shirt.
That's true. That's true. It was disappointing. Reed, what your favorite? Least favorite?
Least favorite. Well, I don't know if it's a least favorite. I thought the Winnie the Pooh ride. Yes, we went on the Winnie the Pooh ride. It wasn't bad, but it was just kind of a longer version of what they have at Disneyland in Los Angeles.
Well, and they don't have as many rides either. So, you know, Winnie the Pooh ride was kind of one of the e-tickets, as they used to say.
Yeah, I was expecting it, and maybe it's still under construction and they're planning to expand. I was expecting it to be more vast, like Disney World. And to me, it didn't feel much bigger sort of in footprint or rides as Disneyland. I'm not even sure it had as many rides as Disneyland.
But I don't think it does. But
that being said, I didn't feel there weren't enough rides. We didn't get to do everything we wanted to. There was plenty to do.
Well, and I do see that you did see fenced off areas, like they were going to expand and giant cranes over there working.
Oh, we forgot to mention the what did they call it? The Seven Dwarves Mine Train.
Oh yeah.
It was basically Shanghai Disney's version of Big Thunder Mountain.
Thunder Mountain Railroad.
And that ride was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's right, it was. Yeah. And we didn't go on the Rapids ride because none of us wanted to get wet and then ride an hour subway back to where we were staying in Shanghai.
Yeah, two things I liked. I liked the parade that we saw, and I'm not a big parade guy, but I thought they did a really nice job. We saw it in the daytime.
And Mulan was a featured part of the parade, which was awesome.
Mulan was more featured than in America, but you're right, not dominating.
Right.
I also liked... This is sort of a footnote. Getting out there, we got on the subway in Shanghai, and it took us, I think, 50 minutes, and it cost 6 yuan, which is a little less than a dollar to get to the entrance of the park, and then a little less than a dollar to get back. And this subway is sparkling clean. Yeah. It was fantastic. One thing probably my biggest disappointment, besides the shops, which Dan mentioned, was the fireworks. And we heard from an insider that the fireworks used to be bigger, and the neighbors complained it was too loud. Now, the park is closing at 7, so I guess it was getting loud at 7 o'clock. I don't know what time people go to bed. So it was a lot more projections on the castle, and to me, that's like, well, I'm watching a movie on a surface not really designed to show movies, and it was fine, but I thought that was disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, fireworks shows are almost always disappointing. I don't know what I'm expecting, Allie, do you have a favorite? Favorite experience or least favorite part of Shanghai Disney?
I met R2-D2, and C-3PO gave me a hug.
Yes!
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, and Tron was awesome, but I met R2-D2.
And who took the fantastic photos of you meeting them?
That was Austin Titchener.
Yes, it was. Least favorite part of the day? Having to leave, having to go home.
Yeah, having to go home, and I wasn't expecting SWAT toilets at Disneyland. You can find Western style toilets, but it's just not the same.
Squatty potties. One favorite thing that I loved, and I kind of touched on it talking about pirates, is that in these new rides now with the technology improving, they've added filmed elements to some of the rides, so it's not just fun animatronics, which is fun, but like the whole IMAX situation in the pirates, and then even in Peter Pan had some film moments from film, so it could be from the movie or it could have been newly created animation. One of my least favorite things was what we went and saw the Captain Jack Sparrow stunt spectacular, and they had about 10 minutes of stunts amidst a half an hour's worth of comedy
in
air quotes.
Those 10 minutes of stunts were awesome.
They were great, but
I could have I could have done without the first 20 minutes.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, I love they had this big fan in the floor, so two people sort of had a fight floating in the air. I mean, yeah. They were tethered, you know, they had safeties, but there in the theater, they were floating in the air, and then there was a funny moment where somebody was on a bungee, and so they fired a cannonball at them into their stomach, and then they released the bungee, and the person was pulled back, so it looked like they were hit by the cannonball. But
that being said,
they crammed 10 minutes of action into 35 minutes of show.
And one of my other favorites, though, was the other live thing that we saw, and I don't typically go to the live shows at Disney
Parks. Nor do I.
Was the Tarzan thing, and they had a kind of a Cirque du Soleil live performance retelling of the Disney Tarzan movie with Phil Collins' music, but without Brian Blessed as the bad guy. Mm-hmm. and it was really cool. I was surprised how cool it was. I guess I don't know what I was expecting, but I thought it was very live and cool. And we were a terrible audience for those guys who were working so hard, and Tarzan and Jane were flying through the air. It was really very cool.
Well, we were also talking about that audience thing, and we think it's a cultural thing, you know? There was moments during Tarzan where they would have a big, awesome stunt happen, and then, you know, all the apes were clapping and leading the audience in applause, and we...
The Americans.
We were applauding, and seemed like everyone else was at a golf tournament or something.
Yes. The audience response was a little quiet.
Which I felt sorry for those performers, although they only had three shows a day, but still. Yeah. You know, it's like punching a clock with that kind of audience.
What'd you guys think about the food at Shanghai Disney?
Oh, I had a pizza.
It was a Mickey-shaped pizza. It was fine.
They didn't have clam chowder in a bread bowl like they have in New Orleans Square. Not the Louisiana Purchase, I was told, but in New Orleans Square.
The churros were great.
Churros, and I didn't get a frozen banana, unfortunately. Yeah.
The caramel corn was good.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Apparently, the turkey legs are a big hit because
oh my God,
there's about 50 people lined up for them a half hour before it was going to reopen.
Yeah, you hold that. I'm going to check.
And every time we walked past the turkey leg place,
huge line.
There was still the line to move, and then other people. I mean, and people. Yeah, I don't know. The word must be out in Shanghai Disney. You got to get the turkey leg.
I guess they get enough duck out here. The duck leg line was.
They should have a Disney Beijing duck, right?
Yeah.
So yes, thumbs up, right? Three Disney fingers up.
Yes. Exactly. What was interesting that you like in the parade and in the fireworks light show, a lot of the songs were in Chinese, but some of them were in English. And I don't know how they decided what to do. What, like the Frozen songs were in English, but like the Lion King songs were in Mandarin.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was interesting.
And all the Tarzan songs were in Mandarin as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was great to hear those songs. But you're right. Then Frozen was in English, and you go...
Yeah.
That's a Hanna-Barbera noise. Excuse me. That's not a Disney noise.
Austin, that's not the way we do it.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your theme park reviews via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Disney princess Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Suzanne Kentris. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Roy Conley, Oscar-winning producer of Big Hero 6 and Tangled, two movies that were also not represented well enough at Shanghai Disney. Very special thanks to Pan Yi and Li Yenda of Tin House Productions for bringing us over to China, and special thanks to Yi for coming with us to Shanghai Disney. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 521 1563rds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Yi, what was your favorite part of Shanghai Disney?
Jack Sparrow.
Why, just because you like pirates?
I wanted to be a pirate.
That's cool. Was Shanghai Disney the first Disney you'd ever been to? The first Disneyland?
It's very first time.
Well, you saw the best. You definitely saw the best Pirates of the Caribbean.
And I go with the very best guys.
Nice. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.